So welcome back to another episode of the No Filter Tattoo Podcast. It's your host, Theo.
Your boy, Tez and Bryson.
If y'all notice, right. Yeah. Shout out.
I am good.
Shout out to Tez, if y'all notice, man. You got the new do.
Oh, yeah.
So this might be your first time seeing him.
Oh, I forgot.
The low
about
cut. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's shit. Nobody else left in the shop with long hair. But anyways, man.
Yeah.
Today's episode, special episode, episode 23. So we had to bring on special guests. We got the famous Yada, aka at Lord Yada on Instagram. Go ahead, man. Just for you both. So I'm gonna
thank you.
Put some people on game if they don't know you already, but you know, you've been tattooing for over 30 years, right?
30 years.
Has it all been in Atlanta?
Open Atlanta.
All Atlanta, man. So Atlanta OG, man. Atlanta legend, man. Yo, congrats to you on that.
You.
You're currently tattooing at Tri-Cities out there with Red. Shout out to Red.
Mm-hmm. Danger Dave.
Danger Dave, of course. Had him on our podcast earlier.
Yep.
But how you feeling, bro? Tell us, bro.
I'm good. Glad to be here, man. Thanks for the invite. I've been watching the when I can and shit. And
I appreciate that.
Like, man, that's cool. I like that because it's like chill.
Yeah, man.
We just chopping it up and
having a conversation.
I love that.
Yeah, we just some chill guys, man, talking tattoo stuff.
I'm just a chill guy.
but yeah, bro, like I said, we appreciate you coming on, man. Like, we like to get, like, a well-rounded variety of guests on the show. So, you know, we get the seasoned artists. You know, yeah, I'll say seasoned artists with, like, 10 years in the game at least. And then you got your new artists, like, 5 years or less. And then, like I said, I like to call OGs, like, you got at least, like, 20 years in the game, man.
Right.
So, to me, that's a huge accomplishment. Not that many tattoo artists can say that and still, you know, got love for what they do. Mm-hmm. So, again, congrats to you and appreciate you coming on. We definitely going to be excited to hear some of your perspectives on a lot of things that's going on in tattooing right now. So, before we dive into that, I always like to hear, like, especially from OGs, like, yeah. Just give us a little brief intro on, like, how you got into tattooing. It don't have to be, like, super in-depth, but I feel like you always got the coolest stories, bro. So, yeah, so let us know, man.
All right, so mine is I thought it was different from everybody else's that I heard, but simply what inspired me to get into tattooing was I got my first tattoo. I drew it up, and I'm sitting there watching the dude tattoo my design on me, and the light bulb went off, right?
Damn, okay.
So I was like, well, shit. It shouldn't be a far stretch for me to learn how to do this.
If he, you were already in the art already.
Yeah, I've been drawing since I was like 4 years old or whatever.
Okay. How old were you when you got the tattoo?
When I got the tattoo, I was 22 years old.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I was grown. But I wanted one when I was 16. I remember seeing this sign back in Illinois where I'm from. It was the neon tattoo sign, the stack letters going down like that. And always in the back of my mind, I'm going to get me a tattoo when I get grown and shit. So
yep.
So a year after I got tattooed, I was in the West End, and I saw another neon tattoo sign. It was a heart, and it had tattoo in it, and it was West End Tattoo. Mm-hmm. And at that time, it was Julie Alfonso that owned that spot, and Superman. And probably a week later, I walked in with my portfolio and just asked them, how do you learn how to tattoo? I was interested.
That's dope.
She looked at my work, and we had a long conversation. She took me on that day.
Okay.
And I've been tattooing ever since.
Man, that's dope. Like,
how long were you working on your portfolio before you entered that shop around that time? Like, around, like, the OG time?
Man, so my portfolio just consisted of drawings that I did. So I went to a creative and performing arts school back in Rockford, Illinois. And you had to audition to get into the school. It was like, remember that show Fame?
Yeah,
it was just like that. So dance, singing, chorus, orchestra, band. So
what was your, like, your skill?
Clearly art was, but you had to take some of the other stuff.
And so what was the other thing that forced you?
He was like, I'm going to be in chorus or drum. And I was like, well, or band. I said, well, I'll take band, and obviously I'm going to do the art.
Okay.
And I got, well, orchestra it was, so they taught me how to play percussion instruments.
Okay.
So I played the drums and the timpani and all of that shit.
You're just good with your hands.
I'm good with my hands. Yeah. And in this particular school, the kids that was in the art class built the set for the plays that the school put on.
Okay.
So I was in that the theater part of that stuff. So,
when you went into the shop with the portfolio, was it like a full shop or a growing shop?
They might have been there maybe a year or two prior to me getting there.
Okay.
And it was a straight up street shop. It was like old school street shop. They were bikers. Uh-huh. They owned the shop.
Okay.
I ain't gonna say the name of the bike club, but they were affiliated with a local bike club.
Gotcha.
And it was straight biker shop, flash on all the walls, had a raised platform where we did tattoos behind the wall. There was flash on the wall. It's a pretty big shop. It was a street shop, man. We was busy right there. It was on Peoples and Abernathy, right in the heart of the West End.
Okay.
Like two blocks from the mall. All right. Yeah.
So were you like thrown to the wolves or, you know, you took?
Nah, it was cool because like Julia was real. She was like a mother, like straight up. She was real nurturing, but she was strict too. But
yeah, I heard I remember watching Color Outside the Lines when it came out, and they talked a bit about Julian and the West End and everything like that. So that whole backstory was dope. It was very interesting. Like I was going to say, like did you come before or around the same time as like Maya and Red, or was it like?
So when I got there, there was Superman, Julia, and a guy named Cleve.
Okay.
So it was the four of us.
Damn, so that's the OG4 then.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So I would be the first of my generation of folks that came through there.
Okay.
When I was there apprenticing, Cleve left because he was a fireman, like regular.
Okay.
And Maya and them came after that.
I left. Oh, okay. And this was like there was no, like Julia was white, but you know, I guess this was like the first. Because there was no black-owned shop right then, right?
I would say. It wasn't really. Because it was her and Superman, but, you know, they were partners.
Okay.
And he was a black guy, and she was a white guy, but white.
And Superman, he was, like infamous. Like, he had the bus or the...
Big mobile home.
Yeah, your mobile home. Yeah, that's right, was, yeah. That's a whole nother.
I got some stories I can tell y'all.
I mean, go ahead.
Might be able to get into it later, but...
Right.
So, it was them... it's crazy because, you know, your journeys as an artist when you're young, you tend to have a big head because you think you're fire and shit.
Yeah, don't we all.
Like, I graduated up to doing tattoos and started making a name for myself and stuff like that because I was already, like, doing little art stuff. Like, I would take my art into some of the record stores in the neighborhood and stuff and have some of my art. So I kind of had a little name. But, you know, people started coming in and and it got to a point where I'm trying to figure out my style. And one day she walked up to me and was like, and she was slick about it. It's like, oh, that's some nice lines you doing there. Clearly I was fucking up, but she was coding me, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, I'm doing my style, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Right. The next day I walked in, and this is... I might have been there 6-7 months before this happened. And the next day, Superman walked up to me. He was like, remember when you got here, I told you don't rock the boat. He had pulled me in the back. You rocking the boat.
Damn.
Pack your shit.
What?
Yeah. Just like that.
Damn.
Dead-ass.
Was there a buildup or that was just like
nah, that I said that shit on Tuesday. I was gone on Wednesday.
Yeah.
So where'd you go after that?
I went home.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. See, what was crazy.
You got to go home, but you got to get out of here.
Yeah, I had to get out of here. So I was working at a pizza place during the day because they knew I was kind of transitioning into this apprenticeship. So I switched my schedules. So I go to the pizza spot. I get off, and I go to the tattoo shop at night. So I just went back to the pizza spot. So sometime after that had happened, and I'm leaving out a lot of stuff right now, but sometime after that incident happened, Julia and Superman had got into it.
Mm.
And they split.
Gotcha. That's what, okay.
So he opened up a shop in Decatur. Mm-hmm. And he gave me a call one day. You still want to finish learning how to tattoo? I was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
So I ended up working with him for 2 years in Decatur. And
it's crazy how the journey works out, man.
But yeah, it's pretty bizarre. And he was a wild one.
yeah, I've heard it. I've never met him.
And I learned a lot from him about what not to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And what's good to do.
That was kind of my,
you know what I'm saying? Idea. But I got to say, I had hella fun when I did work with him because hanging out with bikers is something.
I believe it.
Yeah.
That's an experience I don't think tattoos ever going to get, like, from this generation going forward, you know? Like,
it's mad different.
I mean, probably for good reasons, but it's definitely one of those, like, the stories you got, I'm sure, man, is legendary, bro. Yep. I mean, if you got any stories you want to share, let us know, but we can slide that in later, you know what I'm saying? I understand, you know, can't put anybody on blast, right? Yeah. But
I don't think I answered the original question. My portfolio was just drawings of stuff that I had drawn up to that point.
Okay.
When I was young, I drew a lot of portrait stuff, drawing the models out of the Essence and Ebony magazines and stuff like that.
Okay.
And a lot of just kind of, I would call it abstract stuff that I like.
Because, like, now your style, no, my bad. Because, like, what would you, like, I see a lot of your artwork now. It's, like masks, like, especially, like, what, tribal-based masks, stuff like that. Then also, like you said, kind of abstract, almost, like, graffiti-ish in a way, but just not graffiti. How'd you develop those kind of looks?
Man, I really love and always love, like, the whole graffiti aesthetic. It's, like, I used to get up when I was young. And it's still in me. I stopped when I came down here. I put up a few things in a few places around the city.
Right, we ain't gonna say where.
they gone now, them buildings been demolished. Okay. This was like when I was fucking 18, 19 years old.
Yeah, man. That's so, history right there.
A lot of years ago.
So I guess when did you come to Atlanta?
I came down here in 87.
1987?
Okay.
87. Yeah, 87. I moved down here. Yeah. In the 10th grade, I went to Northside High School. I went to Wheeler.
Okay, Wheeler.
Sure. I went to Marietta.
Okay. Yeah.
All around now. Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of all
around. They just stayed ever since.
Okay. I liked it down here. Atlanta was, it's been good to me, like, honestly.
Yeah.
It's like, I get to travel a lot, so it's like, you know, having a home base is great. But getting and having the opportunity to travel, it's like you can live fucking anywhere, but you still want to be able to travel, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's it's like this is where I started, like, my adult life.
Right.
You know?
No. You can say, like, it's where life really started in a way, yeah. Mm-hmm. But, nah, man, like I said, that's definitely a dope tattoo origin story, man. Like you said, having to go that route and dealing with the biker shops, street shops, and then getting cut out the blue like that, and then just getting that second opportunity.
Yeah.
With that being said, like, let's shift a little bit. Like, now I want to get your perspective as an OG. Like, nowadays, obviously, you got a lot of info out there on tattooing. You know, I mean, this podcast included, but, you know, you can pretty much learn how to tattoo on your own without an apprenticeship. Even though it may not be recommended, but, you know, how do you feel like? Do you feel like that should be gatekept a little bit more like how it was back then, or do you like how open it is now and available it is for everybody?
That whole gatekeeping shit is, I think, is always going to be around. I hated it when we got in because me and Dan the Man, when we opened our shop, we was like anti all that bullshit,
right?
Because we was like, and I always say this, is like we was open source before. That was like the term.
Right, right.
We wanted to get around other artists that just like to create.
Right.
Okay. You can't fucking pigeonhole us or put us in a fucking box. Because if I want to do graphic design, I'm going to fucking do it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Because that's just a different a vein of being able to create stuff. And it's all fucking related. You know, tattooing is call it a trade, it's an artistry, it's a tool. We use tools to create. It's just another form of being able to be creative and shit.
New medium.
Because we all have to draw and sketch the shit before we can get to the pen and pad and mm-hmm. put it on the paper and to the needle and the ink. It's all related. And, you know, the shit, it all feeds each other. I mean, we can't just do a tattoo and then take a shitty photo.
Right.
Nah. Or if we do a shitty drawing, we're going to have a shitty tattoo. So, yep. you know, it's like, I never liked that. So, and I've come to realize is there's many ways to learn, right? So however you can get in it, if your heart is in it and you got that drive to really want to learn and improve yourself on a daily basis, it's like, whatever. I mean, I heard stories of cats, like old cats that I would call OGs, how they learned was digging in a trash can of old tattoo shops to find where they bought their supplies from and shit like right. that. You know, and it was a handful of cats that said, well, I'm not really a drawing like artist. They, you know, they probably could really look at shit and draw. Okay. And they was maybe being modest about it, but they weren't like those creative artists that really like can pull shit out of the ether mm-hmm. and be like, oh man.
Different levels like, to it, right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But they could reproduce that image that's sitting in front of them.
Yeah.
Like it was a fucking copier and shit. So. But I never liked that. Every time we had anniversary parties and shit, we'd call all the tattoo shops, mm-hmm. invite them to them. Nobody would ever show up. Maybe one of the artists that might have worked at a spot. But it's like it was so cliquish, and you still right. kind of had that.
Yeah.
But nah, that's the dumb shit. Because I mean, there's always somebody turning 18.
Yeah, yeah.
There's enough for everybody.
Yeah, it's enough.
You know what I'm saying? And once you eke out your niche or you know your skill and people go after that, fuck. If you keep at it, you're gonna do good.
So I guess it's safe to say you don't feel like the tattoo industry is oversaturated, that term you hear a lot.
Nah, I think that's bullshit because to me the way nature works is like for every motherfucker that comes in, there's people that's leaving out. Mm-hmm. So it's like, always gonna maintain a balance.
Yeah,
that's just nature.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. So, it's 1,000 artists that are great artists, but they're not good people.
Right.
Mm.
They hooked on shit.
Right. They treat people
fucked up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They just treat them like an idol.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. So you know this is about relationships, and it couldn't be. And there's levels of that too.
Yeah.
There's certain people that only want to be treated a certain kind of way. I just want to come in, pick that number 6A off the wall, get it, and go.
Yep.
Right.
And don't ever come back again.
Right.
You know, but you treat them with respect, but exactly. you give them what they want, and you know.
Just overall, just give them a good experience.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And don't hold on to that, but then you cultivate relationships with people where you end up tattooing their children, and then their children's children.
Yep.
I can actually say that shit.
I'm just stuck with the family now.
Generation.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a lot, and there's enough for everybody. And I always thought it's like, you know, wherever you are on this planet, though, you know, we can tattoo anywhere. There's people. We got there's our people there in them spots.
Yeah.
I mean, we can be in Africa and still be doing the same stuff, and we gonna see our tribe. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So.
No, it's real. So. I guess, would you say, like, you know how people, a lot of tattooers have been affected or complain about, you know, the industry is going in such a negative direction. So I'm like, it's good. I'm guessing you feel different from that, like, which is, I like to hear positivity amongst when it comes to tattooing. Like, so how do you feel like the industry is, quote unquote, like doomed or whatever, or do you feel like no? It's just like you were saying before, like it's kind of going through like a culling or a cleansing in a way. Like the good people will rise and the bad people will kind of fall off.
Yeah, that's what's gonna happen because that's just what happens naturally. I don't want to be the doom and gloom, but I mean, there's a certain aspects of I think of American culture that feeds into tattooing. And how it is now with the social media and all of this stuff.
I would say, like one artist once said, sometimes it could be like commercialized tattooing. So in other words, some you got the artist that's just always going to bank off Pinterest
mm-hmm.
and not create.
Yeah.
And then they just really grab it. Like I say, they can pay their bills however they like. But it's really a money move versus a creative move.
Yeah. what is that? Is it like, there's got to be some balance. I don't think it's totally doomed. I was excited when they started doing the TV shows.
Okay.
Yeah. Excited in the sense it was like, oh, this is kind of cool because you never get to see that, really see that aspect of tattooing. And the way they presented it was more of a journey with these guys that tried to build this thing, right?
Right.
And then it turned into something different once, you know, you get on TV. But we know what TV is for. It's for the drama.
Yeah.
It's for entertainment. But there was still an aspect to it that was kind of cool. I watched them because it was like, well, maybe I could get to see some techniques and stuff. That's the way I looked at it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, same.
That's probably the way a lot of cats was looking at it at first. But then there's this generation is just, you know, if I want to see some drama, you know, I'll watch like a real movie or something.
I don't care what tattoo artist, baby mama.
Yeah, doing, all that, you know, drama. Like, I mean, that's, come on. It's some real life shit, but yeah, it's overly exaggerated for the television.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, it should always be some balance. I like it and I kind of dislike it because it kind of opened up the doors to it created a certain kind of collector that was really on this microwave culture kind of shit. So now I think I can get me a sleeve in one day, in one sitting and shit. You know what I'm saying? Right. And that's just not the process.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I always say that's up to us, though, because the only reason why I say that is because a lot of people don't know what goes on with the final product of the tattoo. Yes, our clips might be 7 to 15 seconds, but they don't know about the setup.
Yeah,
I mean, I definitely say, yeah, I do wish TV and like more artists, like I try my best to like whenever I post like a full project, like a sleeve of back piece, like, hey, this is 5 sessions in 30-something, 40-something hours, right. You know, so like you said, clients would educate, like, hey, like if you want quality detailed work, like it's going to take time. Like, yeah, you can rush a sleeve in a day, but it's not gonna look good. You gotta be real with yourself. Like this ain't gonna hold up to no.
Now, I will be honest and say the only thing I do have a gripe with the tattoo industry is that some of them don't educate the clients about stuff like that.
Definitely
about, you know, the TV shows or the Instagram, because there's plenty of times I'm pretty sure you got a Photoshop tattoo. They didn't even know it was Photoshop,
right?
And then you have to say, no, it's not possible. They say, well, it's right here.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, man, I can't wait till AI next 5 years be like, yo, this is not really real.
Yeah, it's going to be scary, like, man.
Yeah, because it's already hard. Now you can't tell. But I've always been one to kind of peep that stuff. I look for the airbrush, the bleeps, and the filters and stuff like that.
Once you train your eye, you can tell when someone kind of.
You gotta cultivate your clientele. Mm-hmm. You got to tell them. You tell them as much as you can tell them. You know what I'm saying? Without.
And I feel the artists are not good at it sometimes.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I'll be like, you really don't know how to teach somebody something.
Right.
No, I mean.
That's a learning process in itself. I had to develop patience because I wasn't a patient person like in my younger days and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. You get into a field like this and.
You need a lot of patience.
That's something people don't really talk about.
It's like holding a child's hand, though, because one of my clients, this one thing, the story that sticks out to me a lot, because one of my friends came from California to visit, and she had never gotten a tattoo. And because I was doing tattoos, she decided to get one.
Okay.
And she told me, so I would have never gotten one unless... You know, because you're doing it and we're friends, I'm going to go ahead and, you know, trust you with this, right?
That's dope.
But I knew she was coming, and this is when I was working on Tara Boulevard with Randy.
Okay.
And you know how busy that shop was at the time when she coming. And I was in my zone. It was like, we stay so busy. And what I ended up doing was treating her like a regular... I'll say, not that I treated customers bad, but we had a lot of flow, so we was,
right.
we gave her that extra.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And she pointed it out to me, and I had to step back and be like, wow, I treated her like it was a regular Tuesday for me, but she made a special trip and told me that she wouldn't have got this unless I was doing it.
Right.
And I didn't like I didn't like receive that in the way that I think that I should.
That's a real good point.
And it had it made me sit back and think about, you know, these people, they come in and they trust us with their skin,
right,
by word of mouth or whatever. And but we forget that we don't sit in that chair that often on that side of it. So they scared, they nervous, they don't know how it's going to feel, and they're about to spend their hard-earned money
right.
for this really a luxury, yep. You know what I'm saying?
It's going to be on them for the rest of their life, too.
And I had to sit with that, and I was like, oh, shit. I need to consider. Yeah, it's not just a tattoo. It's like a real big monumental moment for them. Mm-hmm. So that changed my perspective a lot, definitely. And about the way that I talk to my collectors and even just the whole process and explaining just even some of the simpler stuff. Like, okay, this is witch hazel.
Oh, yeah.
This is distilled water. This is soap. No, and this is what I'm about to do.
Some people just curious.
And people be watching. What you doing now? Oh, yeah. And they open up the package in front of me and this and stuff like this. And it makes them feel comfortable. It makes them feel at ease.
Look what you got there. It's water.
Right. You know what I'm saying? You about to put some alcohol on me? It's like, you know, and they don't know. But the more that you can educate them to the process, the happier they'll be. And the more they're going to brag about you when they leave and be like, man, this person was like, they was real cool. They like, they talked to me like a real person. You know what I mean?
I can only imagine like starting from, like you said, within a tattoo shop, like word of mouth. Now people can FaceTime each other and recommend other friends to you. Mm-hmm. You're just like, they're like, oh, yo, look at this. And you're like, oh, so like.
Now the industry is
time
has changed
multiple times on your end.
Yeah.
So, yeah, one thing I did want to ask, of you being 30 years in the game, have you seen, like, a period like this before in tattooing where, like, I guess a lot of tattooers felt like things have been slower? You know, I'm sure you've been, like, you know, you've been tattooing through 08 when the recession hit back then and stuff. Like, does this feel similar at all? Does it feel different, or is it not even feel that anything at all? You know what I'm saying? Like, people just overreacting.
Nah, it's,
you had a black president.
it's definitely different because everybody's money is not going as long as it spending is much. I didn't even say that right. It's not going as far as it used to.
Right.
So
inflation.
I got three kids. I got a house of five. Right. Okay. So my grocery bill may have went from X amount this year to this amount this year. So I don't have that extra bread to spend on those luxury items like that. And everybody's feeling that, you know, even the cast has got a so-called disposable income. It's like, well, shit, should I do this or should I invest this shit so I can make some money off of this money? So they ain't putting it in those things. But as far as, I guess, tattooing and any other kind of business, it's like you treat your clients, you know what I'm saying, the quality of your work and your consistency, it'll get you through it. Because there's always ebbs and flows and shit.
There's always
ebbs and flows. It's like when I first started getting paid to do tattoos and, you know, that summer hit, I always had money in my pocket.
Right.
Did you ever have to have like a second job since you started full time tattooing?
Never.
Damn, that's dope. I love that.
There might have been times where I thought about it, but I was like, fuck that.
Not close to it, but
I'm gonna really buckle down and dive in and like get out here and do it. I mean, I started back in the day when we was doing street marketing. I would hit up every club
flyers
on the car, business cards. Me and my man, Danny, man, I did his back piece. So he's taking his shirt off.
Right.
You saw me, you saw him and his shirt off because I'm showing off my work and shit. Right. So it was like that. Don't have to do that much anymore these days. But it's different. But
you had to do it 2 years ago.
Yeah. You know, I mean, footwork.
How have you adapted now, though?
Huh?
That's a good point. Like with, like how you marketed back then, like with shift to social media and everything now, like how have you adapted over the years? Like what's your go-to route?
there's really no go-to now. You kind of have to have your hands in all the pies.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So as many of these platforms that come and go, you know, MySpace, Facebook, Instagram, Backspace, Twitter, Tumblr,
yeah,
Flickr,
TikTok, everything.
TikTok. It's like if you ain't got a presence on, because there's a different audience for each one of these places, right? So you should probably have a presence on all of it. And absolutely, you need to have your own standalone website.
Yeah.
Period. Not attached to...
to the shop website.
Well, not necessarily not attached to the shop website. There probably should be some segue in there, but that just depends on how the shop runs and what those rules are for that. But the way I work now and the way it's set up at Tri-Cities, you know, it's like we independent contractors over there, basically. Mm-hmm. Red is Red Shop, and, you know, I pay a booth rent. And I got a key, and I can come and go as I please. I can set my own. There's shop hours, but I can set my own hours, right?
Gotcha.
And I do appointments, and I do walk-ins, you know? But, and that shit has changed a lot over the years because, you know, even just the nature of the way the shops are, it's like, you know, you want to make yourself available for when the people come.
Right.
Or ready to get work done. And then, you know, I had gotten to a point where I had these kids and I was like, man, I'm not spending enough time at home. So it was like, I'm just doing like a 4-day week or a 3-day week. I'm doing Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And I'm at home those other days and shit. So, and that worked really well for a good while. But then it's like, you know, you kind of switch up stuff when you start diving into other things. Like, I want to take some classes on photography or some new graphic design stuff so I can up my game just across the board. You know, if you got some sensible shop mates and owners and stuff like that, you could be able to do that because you know it's going to bring more to the strength of the shop too. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, yeah.
So, when did you indulge in the camera scene? After so many times that you tattooing, I'm pretty sure you didn't start like off rip.
Well, I was taking pictures and doing that before I started tattooing.
Okay.
So it's kind of always been something I like to do.
All right.
So like I was probably 13 or 14 when my dad showed me how to use this camera, and that kind of set that bug in me. And I didn't think I almost wanted to be a photographer, but I really just like taking pictures. I didn't want to like get into the business of doing people's photos, but just for my own self-expression, going out and taking, I hop on a train, hop on a bus, drive around, and just carry my camera everywhere I went. I
feel like it's important, like for being a tattooer, especially like longevity, this is to have some kind of other passion to just kind of outlet to get out.
Absolutely.
That way you don't get burnt out. Like, yeah, how have you not gotten burnt out?
Absolutely. It was a learning experience because sometimes you will sit in it and don't know you in it, like getting burned out or depressed and stuff like that.
What's some signs for you that you like, damn, I'm...
So creatively, for me, I've always been drawing. I've always drawn for myself, you know, from painting pictures or just doing little sketches. It's something that I've always done since I was a young kid.
Right.
And I got to the point where I wasn't doing that for myself. Mm-hmm. I knew shit was fucked up. Okay. It's like I had to sit back and be like, well, you know, what's going on? And then you'll be like, okay, well, maybe I'm gaining weight, I'm drinking too much, or I'm hanging out too much, or, you know, different things that's not adding to your, you know, your happiness, drawing makes me happy. And so you got those kind of things, you know. People go to the gym, work out, ride their bikes. I ride my bike. I joined a bike club.
I was about to say,
Dope Peddlers.
How you started? I said, I'm pretty sure you got a bike.
Yeah. I've always been into bikes, BMX. I used to skateboard when I was younger, but I really was more into the BMX. So I ride my bikes. I try to get in at least for me, at least 3 days a week.
Okay, you still hit like the
people who don't know how to ride
the bowl in addition, all that stuff.
Yeah, I never did that. Yeah. I never got to that point. But I was doing endos and bunny hops and going on the dirt trails and doing that kind of stuff. So I still get to ride my bike, getting out doing photography. But you got to have something else, because you will get burnt out easy, especially if you got a really high-paced, fast shop and you got to kind of keep up with the clientele. But that's outgoing. That's output. But you got to replenish what you put out, what you putting out. So, shit, just going bowling or some shit like that. Right, right. You got to mix that shit up.
Nah, for real. Take care of your health and physical and mental. Take breaks. I think, like I said, before, not overworking, spending time with the family at home, all that stuff too. Mm-hmm. It's important. So I'm definitely trying to focus on that too. So I agree. So
it's a lot of different stuff. I've taken yoga.
Something I like to get into.
Meditation classes. I've done that. But you know, anything that's
simple as going for a walk.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
And listening,
it ain't
nature.
Even got to be nothing heavy. You get a break, walk around the plaza, get some steps in, and just soak up the sun and shit. You know what I'm saying?
I was doing that yesterday.
Yeah.
I do all that.
Especially when this is season 4, right here, man. Yeah. The weather nice, not too hot.
Mm-hmm.
That's good, man. So I know you had told me this off camera, but you worked like through 7 shops over your past 30 years.
Yeah, I was trying to. Uh-huh.
And to me, I feel like that's actually a really good number for a 30-year career, like, because nowadays tattooers have a lot of, like, high turnover rate as far as, like, shop hopping, going from this shop, that shop. You know, a lot of times it is, you know, bad shop experiences, but sometimes it's also on the artist as well, too, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's, I like to know, like, what – it seems like you know the signs of what's a good shop, right? Then you said you opened up a shop too before, like, so yeah, what are you like, what are your signs to be like, all right, this is a green flag for, like, this is a good shop, this is a good environment for me to thrive in and build in?
So I would say a good shop is, first of all, I guess it's how you treat your artists, you know what I'm saying? It's like, are you investing in them? And that's not necessarily a monetary thing, but are you giving them the space to grow? You know what I'm saying? And or are you trying to pigeonhole them into working within this rigid schedule? Those are things. And I get it, and that may vary depending on the size of a particular shop.
Mm-hmm.
But if you working in a place and you feel like you're getting all the weight and responsibility is getting dumped on you because now the owner can get up and go because they've got a reliable person to sit there and take on these things, and then all of a sudden they just ghost, like, way more than they ever, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's like,
got too complacent.
Yeah, you know, that's not a good, healthy, growing environment.
Yeah.
Or even just what goes on in the shop. It's like, this certain shit shouldn't dwell in that space, you know? I'm not a smoker. I used to be a big smoker, used to be a big drinker, but even when I did, that's not something that I did during hours.
No, I'm glad
it's you. It's always after hours.
That's something we were going to talk about.
People didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those. So I definitely absolutely don't like smoking in the shop that you at.
Yeah.
Like, for me, like, that's always like a no-no. Like, I don't know. Because regardless of, you know, if you and all the artists there are smokers, you don't know what your clients are into, you know. They might not be comfortable just being around a bunch of smoke during a tattoo session.
Right.
So they might not be comfortable walking to the shop smelling like weed, you know. So it's like, and I got nothing against, you know, smokers and stuff like that too. But as far as like the, yeah, I was
kind of like, it takes away. Hey, are you focused enough to do my tattoo?
Yeah,
because we all know how it works.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
There's I know some artists who work well, like, under influence, you know, during the session. But I would argue most artists are probably better not smoking, you know, during hours, you know what I'm saying? Just wait until after hours, I would say. Because not even from an artistic standpoint, just from a professional standpoint.
Yeah,
you know? So, like, just being timely and, you know, like on point with everything. You know what I'm saying? It's just,
some people don't like the smell. Like, yeah, they can't run from it because they can't move.
Right, you know. It's more of a professional thing, and I get it if it's more of a private studio situation, but
yeah.
To me, still, there's a level of professionalism that you need to have because you're inviting people in your space that are not used to what you do, you know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? If they on that, maybe your space should be conducive of that happening. If you have a section a area outside of the shop where they can indulge in that shit and come back in because you got other people coming in here that don't want no parts of that. I just came to get this tattoo because you do some wonderful work, but I don't want to be exposed to all of this other shit. You know what I'm saying? The drinking or whatever, you know, and for the health department, you know, you'll get shut down if having any of that shit in your shop during business hours, you know, but that ain't really even an issue. It's more about making that person that's coming to collect your work feel comfortable as they can and shit, mm-hmm. you know, whether it be giving them some water or having some socks because they like to take their shoes off to, you know, that kind of thing, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know, whatever, you know.
Yeah,
but
smart. I never thought about having different socks.
Yeah. So.
But, yeah, no, that's definitely all good signs. Like, basically, you want to be in an environment that's going to work to make your clients feel as comfortable as possible mm-hmm. and make the artist feel like everybody's on the same page.
You make that, you give them that opportunity to, like, you know, there's different levels to, like, you know, you coming in, you learning and building up to be able to go to a convention or working the table at a convention or actually doing tattoos at the convention.
You feel like the
first experience at a convention.
Huh?
How was your first experience?
Man, it was great. I was nervous as fuck. It was it was I think it was 97. It was an Ink Slingers ball that they had out here. Okay. It was that was our first one, and
I was at 90s convention, man. Like compared to now, like I heard stories.
It was about the I won't say it's about the same. They still wild. It was a lot of partying
I think
and stuff.
It was a little bit more wild back then.
Yeah. But it was cool, but everybody was inviting, which was it was kind of wild because, you know, once we had our shop and, you know, we used to have our things, the people that would come in from out of town were different than the locals that had shops here. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because they was like, what's up, brother? You know, we Ink Brothers, you know what I'm saying? Right. Let me show you what I know type shit.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I mean, you way on the other side of town. Right. And I'm calling you just to, you know, say what's up. Yeah. I'd like to come through and visit. You know, some shops is like that. They'll let you come and watch. You know, Cap Sumsky was like that. He'll let you come in and watch your session and shit. And that was great. But most cats was like he even had limits to his shit, though, too. But
it's like a
you would figure that we all in this kind of together. Mm. And if I can help you be better, that's going to help the whole culture be better too. Yeah, but absolutely. People, a lot of people don't think like that, and
yeah, I'm not saying
it's kind of unfortunate.
It is, man. It's one of those. I always felt the same, like because I didn't even put this story, but basically, what you're speaking of now is just like that's what helped my career. So back when I was first starting, you know, I was just tattooing off Covenant Highway at the shop. I didn't really have the environment to grow, you know, the artist or the shop owner to really push you or want you to grow, right? Mm-hmm. So I had to go to other shops. And, you know, this is back when you was at West End with Red and Dave, and I think Bang was still apprenticing.
Yeah.
And then y'all was one of the few shops that was just, like, so open to me, man, like, young kid just coming in there, my sketchbook just drawing and watching, right. Man, asking questions. I know I was probably getting on your nerves and stuff like that, but like I said, that to me, like moments like that is what, like, that's what real tattoo community is, you know. And and I always wanted to share that in the future. Like I always said, like if I had the opportunity to do that for another artist, I'm always have that like that door open. Mm-hmm. So I don't know to for other artists out there, like if. For y'all to be afraid or just like, oh, I'm not sharing nothing with anybody or anything like that, man. And you really,
well, I think the difference on that one is it's not really about sharing. It's about One of the things I always experience, some artists just be like, why should I waste my breath versus sharing? Because you can tell this person this. And I'm pretty sure we all experienced. We gave the best information ever. And they just turn around and do the same thing. And then they be like, oh, I learned this from this. And they still doing what their habit is. So now you got to be like, no, I didn't teach you that.
Right.
And you stop.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day.
To the old adage again. Yeah. Bring the horse to the water. Yeah. Can't make them drink.
So yeah, like, so I understand when some people say, I'm not finna waste.
I guess you can't get jaded by that. That's why I'm saying. It's like, I understand getting frustrated. Because I've been frustrated too. Where like stuff like that. But at the same time, it's like, I'm not going to let one bad experience influence me. Then because out of that one, I done had a lot of positive influences, you know, and then that's created connections, like lifelong connections, you know.
I understand the ratio. Yeah. It was just more of some people just be like, not wasting my breath.
I mean, those people got to get over that, man. Get out their feelings, man, and just, I don't know. It's one of those. Yeah, I mean, to me, if people just make the effort to even come and watch and just hang out, to me, that's a, you know what I'm saying, that's a lot. Because most artists ain't going to do that, right? You know, they're not going to take
it. Just hit you a note on DM. Yeah.
You know what I just thought of? And I think this would be cool for us, you know, with the, and I was thinking about this the other day, you know, man, what's the Black Tattoo Experience.
Yeah.
What's the brother's name?
Swiss. Yeah.
I ain't really get a chance to chop it up with him. I went for a hot second and just popped through, but I thought it would be cool. And anybody can, like, do this. It's like if shops went together as a shop and visited the other shops.
Sure, man.
We've
been talking with...
Like, on, like, some real... Not, like...
Don't make that face, bro.
You know, just to, like...
Too busy, bro. Yeah.
It's, I mean, people be busy, but it's like... It's like...
But we should make an effort.
West End,
that,
we used to go on field trips.
That's dope.
It's like, we shutting down today. Let's go to the museum and shit. Let's go to the book barn when they had bookstores. But go to the bookstore and get magazines and do all that kind of shit. But it was like, we're not going to fuck around. We going to like get stuff to help us build. Right. But it's like we had these conventions, but we working.
Right,
conventions.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like we get to politic and shit, but we don't really just kind of get to kick it. And I think it should be kind of there's some kind of nice formula for it to happen. It's like, we just not going to roll up and be like, yo, we Golden Anchor. let's roll up in here. But we like to come through and visit your artists, introduce ourselves so we can all know each other. And then, if I wasn't following you, but I dig that kind of work, you might be the guy I need to talk to about doing the anime shit or, you know, that kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? No, so it's more of a, you know what I'm saying?
No, I definitely get that.
What I experienced within the 4 years, so I don't have a lot of years, it's just you're trying to bring together too many flexible schedules together.
Yeah, it's a lot. It would be difficult.
That's the hardest part.
Like a white answer for that.
Tattoo artists, schedules would be all over because, you know, you got the... One artist is like,
I will say Monday.
Family. They don't want to be out
like
too late.
Universal thing.
Mondays
and Sundays, your most
shops is closed. Yeah, I would say.
But then if you try to visit another shop, they're gonna be closed on that day too, or that's their day off. So
the funny thing is, it's like ours would be Wednesdays and Fridays.
Yeah,
but then they'll be like, I'm working Wednesday. Dang.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, what about a Monday? Well, I prefer to be off on Monday. Oh, dang. You too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I always like to hit the Atlanta convention, even if like not tattooing, but it's like just get a booth there and just us, you know, see our local homies, you know what I'm saying?
I do agree. I did the past 3 years going to conventions. Sunday is really just for me to walk around and talk to people.
Yeah.
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 Especially if, you know, I did my quota, you know, doing what my goals were to be at the convention. But Sundays is... And then I purposely tell myself I need to speak to 5 new artists.
Oh, there you go.
Every time I go to a convention. Mm-hmm. If I never spoke to you, I'm going to speak to you this year.
Nah, yeah. Sure.
Well, maybe it should be more on an individual kind of tip thing. So
it's one of those, you try to do both, man. Yeah.
Don't be shy. That's individual, really what it is.
Well, I think, yeah.
They're shy.
Yeah.
Tattoo artists are shy.
Yeah.
Now, I even had people DM me, like artists, tattoo artists, like, oh, yeah, I was at the convention, but I was going to say, hey, but, you know, you look like you was, like, busy talking. This and like, I was like, yeah, I mean, I might look busy, but just stop me and say what's up, man. You know, because, like, that's all you got to take. Because, like, I'm not going to be mad at you at it. So.
Shout out to Marcus if you ever watched this podcast. But he saw me outside on Sunday pissed. Like, I was mad. It was our first time meeting. But I actually told Marcus, I was like, hey, man, I'm sorry you have to meet me this way. I'm just pissed off right now. But I'm definitely going to make sure I'm respectful as we're having this conversation.
Right.
And, you know, two grown-ass men, like, we was chopping it up
for
a good 15 minutes.
Nah, man, that's, like,
definitely. You could always walk up to me.
Yeah.
You got to be approachable. That's the biggest
thing. People look at, you know, once they think that you've reached a certain status, that you're unapproachable. Or they'd be scared. Whether it be a collector or even other artists, it's like you look like just like the, you know, the thing said, it's like you look like you was busy. But
Nah, it's, forget the whatever the
it's like you might not have another
followers,
chance.
All this, just
that's the attitude I have. But I always do this. Well, I always tell people when I meet them, I prefer to talk to a tattoo artist while they're tattooing than don't, because if they're not, they're trying to find that one person to tattoo. So if somebody walks up, they kind of like, I was like, So once you see you tattooing, your ink set up, that's when I chop it up with
right.
you.
Right.
Okay. So let me get back on that subject. We talk about shops, right? So with your years of experience, expertise, man, I like to know, like, what's your perspective? And then y'all can chime into, like, on what makes a good shop owner? Since you've been on both sides and currently you're working at a shop. Just as an artist side too, so, like what creates an owner that makes you want to work for them and stay, you know, with them? You know what I'm saying?
Respect.
True.
Yeah, that's big.
Foremost, and a certain kind of openness.
And what do you mean by like openness? You would say
open to,
like open to criticism and stuff like that, or
open to criticism, because you know we all get in a place where we don't smell ourselves.
Yeah,
but the people that work around you, that you got to work with you, you should respect them enough to know know that they, you know, if y'all good people, they should be able to say shit without it ending up being like,
"Oh, you fired."
I'm challenging your authority, but I'm just trying to get you to see this perspective and shit. Because you got somebody that, let's say, they've been working by themselves for umpteen years, and then start adding a team to them.
Right.
You know, when you got all these different personalities, but you've only worked and saw this thing, and of course, okay, it's your shop. And is you made it on your skills and shit like that, but there's always
room for improvement.
There's always room for growth, and that's I think that's the part that kind of fucks up a lot of folks. Is like you get to a point and then you don't want to grow. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You just want to be stuck. I mean, your formula, okay, to this point was great because it got you here, but it's gotta mold and move with the times.
Multiple so, ways to do that.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Me the best. He said, is it working or is it just not failing?
Yeah.
And I was like,
damn,
right.
Like that.
Another barber?
That, and then, you know, getting other people around you, if I was an owner, getting other people around me that don't do the same shit that I do. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly, yeah.
Have maybe some of the same interests and aesthetics that I like.
Mm-hmm.
So we're cool, but they are interested in a lot of other different stuff and bring another thing to the table.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because that's just going to make the team strong. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, giving the artist opportunity to grow. You know, some people aren't convention artists or won't do for traveling because they don't have the mindset for it. They a motherfucker that can stay at the shop and make sure the shop don't burn down when the owner gone, you know.
Right.
And you need those people too.
Yeah,
right. So
like you said earlier, you're not making this artist to your point of view of how they should do it.
Right.
You're not trying to force your artist to be like
you.
You. Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. And you can't. You know, it's great if y'all can vibe on that kind of level, but you got places where I worked at places that I didn't hang out with the person that owned the shop.
Right.
After hours. All motherfuckers thought we was best friends when we in the shop, but we both went our separate ways when, you know, when we exited the doors, you know. But because we were just two different kind of people.
Mm-hmm.
But in the shop,
you knew
we was like this. You know, it was like we made this motherfucker run like it was supposed to run, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and that ain't a bad thing either. You got to be friends, obviously. But, you know, it's just a good person in general. I don't know what else.
So
that's a good list right there, man.
Yeah. So I know we always talk about what makes you a shop owner, but you know, you're always gonna have that person who always challenge you and say, "Well, I never had that experience."
Right.
So
right
what do you usually say to that? Like, it could be like, this owner would not post my work if my tattoos were better than them, because we get the DMs a lot.
Oh yeah, wow. We get a lot of artists who complain. Like I said, they like, oh well, you know, there's not a lot of shop owners like you, or there's not shops like you. Like, so that's why I'm like, I want to know like what makes a good shop owner to artists then. And then like, so shop owners can, or people who want to be shop owners can see that. And like, this is what you got to do, you know, to cultivate a team that, you know, if you want this team to believe in you and help build together with you, then you got to have these qualities, you know, because it's not just, I think a lot of times, artists who want to become owners or do become owners think it's just like, all right, I'm good at tattooing, I'm going to open a shop.
Okay.
And then people are just going to come because I'm good. And then, boom, it's just how it works. Like, and like, it doesn't work like that, you know, so.
It could be about advertisement. I definitely had a good one where I was at the convention, not name dropping, but it was some people at the convention telling me, some of the workers would say, oh, the shop's supposed to pay for this, or either you're paying your booth at the convention. So I always think maybe it's lack of communication, or you guys are just a stubborn motherfucker that just won't.
So you're saying like, some artists, or at least they, like I said, they don't communicate the expectations beforehand or with the owner, or or sometimes they expect too much, or
maybe
I don't know.
They did.
Because it's definitely, it's on both sides. So it's like, it's one of those, combos that we love to engage in. It's like, all right, good. It's like, is it the owner? Is it the artist? Is it both? Like what? Because obviously it's fought on both sides, but it's like,
it's a gray area.
Yeah, because like now I see so much complaining of like artists, and like there's so many predatory shop owners out there, which is true. Like, there's a lot of predatory shop owners out there, but it's like, all right, how do we?
There's some predatory artists too.
Too. Like, all right.
Yeah, sometimes.
That's real. Absolutely. All right, so this is just it's a tattoo question, but not related to what we were just talking about.
Okay.
But I just been wanting to ask different people, different artists, this. So you know, right now it's a whole trend with the getting anesthesia to get tattooed. Like, how do you feel about this whole anesthesia trend? And then if you want to go down the whole number cream rabbit hole too, like, what's your perspective on that?
I think it's kind of, I use numbing cream. I've used cream and sprays. I hate the creams generally because they really fuck up the texture of the skin and fuck with the healing process.
Mm-hmm.
I would generally use the liquid forms, you know. I'm not against it, but this full body anesthesia stuff is it's extreme because clearly there's been some people. Well, this guy recently passed.
Right.
He didn't wake up because he kind of went in, and this young lady ended up having to go to the hospital because her whole leg was like she felt all the pain. Y'all saw that one?
Yeah, I saw that.
It's like that's extreme because that's that old microwave society shit, though. It's like
trying to escape pain.
Certain things have a proper process,
right?
That needs to happen. And
do you feel like you should hold tattoo artists accountable of how they do stuff like that? I'll give you a great example where I really just had to, and I really don't like saying this because sometimes I'm aware I'm taking money out of an artist's pocket. pocket. But I was at a convention just recently at the Atlanta one, and this dude had a portrait of his son on his arm. Mm. He said what the lady did was a base color of the medium tones, and then she applied the numbing cream on for another hour and a half. Yeah, I know what I said. And then let it sit for an hour and a half, and then reapplied it. Now he has a scar. And, you know, I'm over here. Sometimes I can't be like, the client was dumb on that part. I had to really.
That's the artist on that.
Yeah. Yeah, so like, I straight up told him. I was like, nah, the artist fucked up.
Yeah. Was,
yeah. So.
Wilding on
like,
that.
Like, I'm going to just say the leg sleeve that went viral, the artist fucked up.
Yeah. Overworked that. So, like, you shouldn't know. Like, even number cream, regardless, you shouldn't do that much trauma to the skin.
There's a way to apply the number cream, but these people want to try a different route just for the sake of the art clients, and then they don't want to take fault for it.
Yeah, take responsibility for that shit. Right. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you're trying to make that person happy. So whether you fucked up and you need to rectify it, however it need to be rectified, you got to stand up and take that one.
Right.
Yeah. I use spray, but you should never get a tattoo, let's just say, 3 hours in and then apply the numbing cream on again and wait an hour.
Like,
that waiting part, it's like, come on, bro.
I'll be honest, like, I don't stop clients from using numbing cream before the tattoo. I won't provide it, but if you want to do it yourself, go ahead. I've been lucky enough, I probably only had a few bad heels from numbing cream, but for the most part, people, I guess, don't get the wrong brands or don't overdo it, at least for my clientele. I mean, when you work on numbing cream skin, it does, like, it makes it a little bit harder to read the skin, you know what I mean? So it takes a little bit longer, but
especially that stuff.
I look at it like, I don't know. It's one of those things. Is like, me personally, when I get my tattoos, I'm not a number cream guy. I do feel like, you know, part of the process is getting the pain, right? You know, that's what makes tattoos cool. I don't worry about that.
Me and most of my clients, like, the numbing cream make it hurt worse.
Yeah, the long run it will, because once it wears off, it's going to hit you like, boom.
I'll say this, Yada. Like, I remember you said, like, the microwave tattooing. And a lot of people want to use the numbing cream so they can not feel nothing and hope that the tattoo ends fast. But that's not what the process is.
Yeah. It's not.
It's like, I wish I could do a full sleeve in 2 hours. I'd be a millionaire right now.
And the anesthesia stuff, man, is like, to me, that's just like, that's dumb. Yeah, like, you're risking your life.
You're really risking your life. It's a super flex,
super flex.
But the risk is too high for that.
Right. Is why go under just the, because the thing is, you're still not getting the best work you can get, because the art, regardless if you got 5 artists on you at the same time, they still rush. Yeah, because, like, you can only be under anesthesia for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
So, you know, they got to, like, all right, you got this part of the back, I got this part of the back, and this part of the back. And so everybody's kind of like trying to get it in with that in that time frame. And then they're working, pushing each other to the side, you know, so it's not going to be the most conducive process.
You think that's the person, because you can tell they got like certain pages for artists that do that stuff. Do you think that's more of like maybe just a business owner making a move like that?
I mean, yeah, for sure. Like, it's a marketing thing. Because most of these studios that offer are like, I mean, no hate, like, they, like, from the ones I've seen, they're all good artists, but they are the ones that are, like, more
the
celebrity, fans. Like, clientele focused. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
the other person had behind the scenes. And that's what so I don't like.
It's, to me, personally, I don't really care about getting celebrity clientele. Like, they're not the type of people I like to tattoo anyway, for the most part. I mean, if you want, but I mean, I'm not going. If you want anesthesia,
like, I'm making exceptions.
Look, man, it's one of those. I'm not going to bend over backwards for it, right?
Oh, no, for sure.
But all right, since we're going to bring this up, though, like, how much money if they offered you $10,000 to be part of this anesthesia session of a group of other artists, you get $10,000 individually.
$10,000
one day.
I probably won't do it.
$20,000.
Why you got? See,
look, what's the number? Every what's the number?
He always
wants to got a number, right?
What's the number?
When you going to break?
Give me 30.
30?
30.
What about you?
Because I need them taxes to kind of cut it off a little bit.
Nah, man.
Okay, so you can hold strong?
Yeah.
I respect that.
Nah. To me, and well, yeah, I don't know, this is it. Part of what you pay to get a tattoo is to endure it. So you pay some money, but you got to sit through it. That's the other half of the payment.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever, how it feels, because everybody feels every different way when they're getting a tattoo.
Everybody's not made the same.
Motherfuckers cry. Motherfuckers scream and winch. Some people fall asleep.
Some people laugh.
Some people have orgasms.
Damn.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I've had that a few times. It's a wild situation. But people pass out.
Yeah, we don't have that.
I've had a lot of people pass out. And it's crazy. Before and after the tattoo. Like, even before I started, people pass out. It's like all those things. Some people you just can't even touch. It's like, I'm putting the stencil on and they just want all this.
Up in their head.
So, Red says it's nothing a grown man or woman can't take. You know, if you sit there, you breathe, you're going to get through it and shit. And
it reminds me of a quote. It's like some old school badass tattooer said something like this, where it was like, if tattoos didn't hurt, then every pussy would have one. Yeah. So it's like, to me, that makes like, part of the mystique of tattoos is like, you had to go through that pain to get it. Like, and then, but if it was a painless thing, then it wouldn't even be cool anymore.
One of the
like,
things I always say, I really had like probably 2 to 3, literally, that they actually need the numbing cream. They love tattoos. Really love it.
Right.
Yeah. No, I got some clients that you need numbing cream because you can't sit still.
One or two outliers. Yeah. Like,
I don't know how their body's made, but it's like, you're a great person. Yeah.
No, I give because like I give them props because they tried without the numbing cream and they just, hey man, I legit can't sit more than this much time. Like, so you know,
30 minutes.
Like to me, if you at least go through the process without numbing cream and then you know, like, all right, like, I suck at getting tattoos, but like I really want to get this, like, then cool, you know. But it's like, you know, there's a client that's like, they just like, they refuse to get tattooed without numbing cream. They never even been tattooed without numbing cream. Yeah, you don't even know the how it feels without it. You could be just fine without it.
As soon as they feel anything, it's over.
Right. It's like, come on.
We only been at this like an hour.
y'all ever had anybody just jump out the chair while y'all tattooing?
Jump out the chair. It wasn't with me, but it was with a artist named Chico. Chico. Mm. I had his client literally paid him, and he had to do like another hour left. And they was like, "Yeah, I'm ready to go." He's like, "Yeah, but I gotta do this." They finished it at the end of the story, but that was the one time I kind of laughed a little bit where I was like, "Dang, that artist said I'm gonna pay you. I'm gonna just try to dip." That was pretty funny.
That's wild.
The only reason why the person got tattooed. Thank God the brother was with her. He was like, "I mean, it ain't finished. I don't want to get this out
right now."
Mine's almost quick.
You got a Jedi mind trick client.
Matter of fact, I actually had an episode like that.
Yeah,
did the outline on his back and
yesterday.
Yeah, there came all the way from Riverdale on 5 to 6 o'clock p.m. traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Just to quit in about 20 minutes. I was like, "Hey, bud."
Hey, my boy, he looked like he was asleep at first.
He would die.
My boy looked up.
What was the outline?
Turned to me.
One Piece back tattoo I posted on the story.
Oh, I got you.
He turned to Bryce and he was like,
"Yeah, I'm gonna have to quit."
We just gonna do the outline today.
At least he thugged it out and said, "Look, I got what I could do without the number cream.
Yeah,
I'll come back later, finish." You know, so
he came in fresh.
That shit.
What I'm saying, like no number cream, like so like I respect that.
But
more.
I. I said, "You sat for a 12-hour tattoo. This is weird. What the hell are you talking about?
I mean, sometimes you just not mentally in the right mindset to get a tattoo, man.
What you got me for? I'm the coach. Thing. I got you.
Nah, man.
I did a little trick.
That goes.
Talk about it off camera.
That goes so far.
Right. Shoot. All right, man. So we done had great convo already, man. But there's one question that I think we can end with, man, that I'd love to ask you. Like you said, 30 years in the game. That's an accomplishment. I'm aiming for that. We aiming for that. Every tattooer should be aiming for that and more, you know? So what's the key to longevity in this industry, man? Like, so many newer artists, like, they struggling. Now they actually have to, like, work hard and grind to get clientele now, right?
Yeah, about a tattoo gold era.
2020 era, COVID era.
Yeah.
That's my generation.
Right. Earlier, like you said, like, how do you get through these ebbs and flows of tattooing?
It's consistency and growth and giving yourself the opportunity to grow and meet other artists.
Okay.
And not staying pigeonholed into one, like, train of thought. You know what I'm saying?
Can I ask you, when you said consistency, like, what areas in your life did you have consistency in that, like, affected it the most, you would say? Like, were you, like, a routine guy? Like, every day I did this, that? Or, like, you showed up at the shop same time every day? You did the same hours? Or?
Yeah, that would be a routine thing. however, I guess it breaks down for the individual. I'm not a person that draws every day. I kind of, when I feel it, I'm a draw when I feel like it kind of person. I've had people tell me, "Nah, man, you got to do something every day." Sometimes it ain't, it don't come like that. But
yeah,
I feel it.
Having the time to do it when you need to do it is big. Having just, you know, the other stuff we was talking about is keeping on top of your health, having that quiet time to yourself, having that family time, you know, and having those structured things, I think, around what you do can help you grow and have that stability as an artist. You know, if you a family guy, knowing that your home is straight and you ain't got to worry about a certain amount of things makes when I go to work easy, you know, because I'm not stressed and thinking about, you know, that's, you know, that thing.
All
you
that
know?
Can lead into.
So, all of that. Continue learning and growing.
Just keep on keeping on, man. It's gonna be highs and lows.
We looking for this four leaf clover.
It's
the same shit, different day.
It's all the same. And you know, you got the opportunity to make a lot of money in a short period of time. When you got the big money, make sure you put a percentage of it up.
Yeah.
Somewhere. So is making money for you or investing in stuff that's going to make you a better artist, you know, that kind of thing. It's going to enhance.
I always jokingly say most tattoo artists don't come from a rich background. They see all that fast money so quick.
And we blow
it. Like athletes and stuff, once they get money.
I can make it today, and it always be like those situations where you think, well, I did this today. I know I can make it tomorrow, so we end up blowing through it. But, you know.
Mm-hmm. I just got this money.
But like I said, that cancellation hit tomorrow then. All of a sudden.
Right.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. Nah, so.
I just like seeing numbers go up.
It could be going good for weeks and then your whole next week cancel.
Yeah. So like I said, don't be a week-to-week person. Like be like a, like when you like say, if you got, look at it as a month, right? So like let's say. You need to make a certain amount of money in a month. If you get that money, if you make that money like 2 weeks, put that money you need aside. You know, don't be like, well, I got two more weeks. Let me go ahead and spend this extra money. You don't know it's extra because what if next 2 weeks you get five cancellations?
Right.
And now all of a sudden you needed that money you spent. So you got
to. Listen, crazy.
Right. So just, man, that's like I said, we'd appreciate all the time, but like, be responsible with your money, man.
Be responsible.
That's really that simple. Yeah. But, man, again, thank you, bro. Like, you got any last gems, any things you want to drop on the podcast, man?
Shit, I don't know, man. I appreciate y'all having me come out.
Like I said, we enjoyed all the stories, the perspectives you dropped, man. Like I said, again, you and Red and everybody West End and now Tri-Cities, and y'all had a profound effect in my career, man. So, like I said, I appreciate that. That love that y'all showed me as a young tattooer. So I'm happy to see you still thriving, bro. So
thank you. That's how we got to push you forward, man. Just like you say,
yes sir, man.
And you've done well for yourself,
thank you,
here,
bro.
Brother.
Hey, man, that, man, that means a lot, brother. Thank you, man. Yes sir, man. Yep. Well, we out, y'all. Peace.
Peace.